Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, welcome back to Scaling Wellness. I'm Caroline Kopp. I'm going to be your host for the next 20 or so minutes, depending on how much I go on and on in this episode. Today we are talking about selling. And the reason why is because when I look back at my businesses throughout the years, I've worked for myself now for 21 years since I trained as a Pilates teacher back in 2004. And I think the thing that has always felt really icky, a bit murky and scary to me has been selling. And yet, I would say, in complete honesty, the thing I enjoy most in my business these days is sales and marketing. You know, when you start kind of gamifying your sales to a certain extent and giving yourself goals, setting expectations for yourself, sales and kind of figuring out what's working for your audience, what lands, what resonates. It's challenging, but I find it these days to be a really enjoyable part of my business. But it really wasn't always that way. And when I look back at when I had my studios, I can remember people coming into my studios, literally walking in the door asking to come and join classes. And I would finish the conversation by saying, you know, go away, have a think about it, let us know. And there would never be any follow-up from me. I would never want to feel like I was chasing people or being pushy. And what I know now, what I notice nowadays as a consumer, is that, of course, you know, none of us love going into a clothes shop and being immediately accosted by the salesperson. That can feel uncomfortable. But there is a fine line between that and being ignored. And being ignored is really frustrating. I went recently, I have to be a little bit subtle about how I describe this. I went recently and enjoyed a service. It was a fitness, a well-being service. And I have to be careful about how I explain this because, you know, it's a local person and I don't want to throw any shade on anybody. But once I had completed my kind of initial term at this place, I was just ignored. Since I finished that final session, I haven't had an email, a text message, any kind of follow-up. No one has reached out to me and said, you know, have you enjoyed it? How have you found it? We'd love to welcome you back. Here are the packages. These are the prices. You know, can we encourage you to come back for your next session? Would you like to book in now? And I can tell you this, I am teetering on the edge. It wouldn't take much. If someone just gave me a call or sent me a message or emailed me even and just said, how was it? I would be back in a heartbeat. And I think this is a fairly high value service. If I'm feeling that way, other people are too. Most people just need a little nudge. It's not like we're preying on insecurities. We're not pushing. We're not that kind of 80s used car salesman selling something dodgy. You know, it really is just a matter of following up with people and also having some belief in what you sell and having some belief in your offer, in your service, and actually that people want it. You're not selling something that people don't want. We're not selling ice to the Eskimos. We are actually selling services that people need and will have huge benefit from. And so in this episode, I'm going to walk you through kind of what my version of selling looks like these days. And it does change, it evolves, and I'm still absolutely learning. I really make this a big part of my life, my business, a huge element of what I do day to day is actually my own development and my own learning. And obviously that means I'm then better placed to attract customers that keep my business going, but I'm also able to then help my clients to understand this process and not fear it, you know, not be held back by their kind of distaste around selling. So I'm going to talk you through that, how I make consistent sales and how I do that without pressure and also without daily posting on social media. Although I do a bit of that, it isn't part of my sales strategy. And so what I'm seeing that people are doing wrong, and I think this is what I have done wrong over the years, is, you know, posting daily, a lot of output, putting stuff into the world. And actually this service that I was speaking about at the beginning, they are doing that. They're putting a lot of output out there. They're posting daily. They are very visible. They're, you know, sponsoring local sports teams and that kind of thing. But what they're not doing is the other way around. They're putting a lot of external stuff out, but they're not actually nurturing people or even asking for the sale. So you might be posting a lot, you might be doing a lot of stories, you might even be emailing your list a lot, although I doubt it. It's not usual. When people work with me, that's a fairly unusual type of person, someone who already has a really good email list strategy. But, you know, asking for the sale. You're posting, you're putting all this stuff and time into, you know, promoting yourself, but you're never actually telling people how to work with you. So that's one of the big mistakes I see. Selling randomly in stories, you know, every now and then having a sales push. And the other thing I see really commonly is people only showing up when they have something to sell. So people I work with tend to fall into two camps. They're either all over social media all the time and they very rarely actually tell people what they want them to do. Or it's the opposite. They have complete radio silence until it's time to make a sale and then suddenly they're pushing their products. Neither is going to work. We need a bit of a balance of both. The other thing I see is this kind of reliance on low ticket. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just sell something for £27 and I only need to sell, you know, 50,000 of them to make a decent living. And it's like, that's not going to happen. And also, that's really hard work. That's a really hard route to the end. So the idea of you can rely on low ticket or rely on passive sales is a problem that I see. And then it's not that you're not doing anything. And I do want to kind of acknowledge this and show that I see you. You're not doing nothing. You've created great digital products. In some cases, you're not there yet, and that's okay too. But if you have created it, you've made a really good start, and you've got further than most people ever do. But you don't have a system, and we need to create a system for sales. And so, there are three core pillars that I like to work to, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail on each of these. The first one is a deep audience understanding, a deep understanding, and I want to really highlight that. I had a wonderful client that I'm working with at the moment, and she submitted to me this week her kind of initial template that kind of shows the outline of what her digital product is going to look like. And in this template, it talked very, very clearly actually about a particular population. But when we got into the nuts and bolts of who this person was, there was a lot of maybe they're doing this and possibly doing this and they might be experiencing this. And the problem with that is that, yes, we can look at a population. If we're looking at, say, women 40 plus, they might have elderly parents. They might have teenagers. They might be working full time. They might shop at Tesco's. But what we need to be doing is getting clear. Because if we cater for the mights, the maybes, the possibilities, we don't then end up speaking to anyone in a defined way. And so nobody ends up feeling like they are being spoken to. Whereas if we were to say, I am going to work with women who are 40 plus, who are balancing the teenage nightmare with the elderly parent scenario. They are shopping every week in Tesco's. They are working 3 days a week. They are experiencing extreme joint pain. And this joint pain is showing up primarily when they are in bed at night. They have invested in 5 different mattresses in the last 2 years in an effort to try and alleviate this joint pain. But it's getting worse. And they're discovering that they are struggling to take the Hoover up to the top floor of their house, which is 3 floors. So they're having to get their husband to do it. So they're feeling progressively weaker. Now, can you see how these things are specific? Not everyone is going to have a 3-story house, of course. But what it does is it showcases a particular scenario that people will resonate with. They might not have a 3-story house. They might even have a cleaner. They're not carrying the Hoover around. But they might notice themselves in that story somewhere. And so deeply understanding and picking a lane, choosing your person, is really important. And what I find the easiest way to do this is to base it on yourself. If you are your ideal client, speak to your struggles. You know, when I talk about my story and I talk about my membership and how it grew to 40, I think it was around 40 members before I realized that at £9 a month, I wasn't going to be making any money because my outgoings were so high and I'd invested in all these things. And, you know, when I talk about that, I know that not everybody is going to reach 40 members. And I know that not everybody is going to have invested in a video editor. And I know that not everybody is charging £9 a month. But what it does is you guys listen and you go, oh yeah, so I had the same issue whereby my clients joined and then nobody else did. And mine was £17 a month, but it still wasn't really going to make me any money. And I still had the same problems and scaling it. But by giving you the detail, it sets the scene. It shows you that I get it. And I think what my clients are what we're sort of working on in the program, in the Accelerator program, is to really lean into that, lean into a demographic, a story. You will attract others. Other people will still want to work with you. You know, if you're a fitness trainer and you work with men that are 65 plus, you will still get people that come to you at 55 and say, you know, but you're looking in great shape, so would you work with me even though I'm 10 years under your sort of preferred demographic? You know, if you're working with people with an osteoporosis diagnosis, you will still get people that come to you and say, you know what, I haven't got it, but I know my mum had it, and so I'm worried about getting it, and so can you help me? So do you see how by picking a lane, you don't alienate people? Of course, there are some people that have no joint concerns, no osteoporosis diagnosis, no history of it, that won't even see your stuff because it's not on their radar. You're not going to be in their world, and that's fine. You only need to be well known to a few. You just need to choose the few. Okay, so this is the first, it's the fundamental. Nothing works without this. And in the online space, I really cannot stress this enough. This is your first pillar. If you don't knock over this domino, nothing else will work. Okay, so the second thing is looking at growth as a priority. Now, when you're wanting to sell your digital product online, your email list is your priority. Now, it's very nice to have a big social media following and, you know, getting lots of likes and lots of shares, and that's all great. But what we really need is for those people to hop over onto our email list and stay there, because we own our email list. We do not own our social media following. And if TikTok shuts down tomorrow, which it has done in the past, this is not a kind of wild idea. You could lose an entire business if you're basing it on social media. Okay, so you need to get those people and you need to pull them into your email list. But we also need to be thinking about growth of that list as an absolute priority, not accidental growth, intentional growth. We need lead magnets, we need content that speaks to problems, and we need to encourage people to sign up to our email lists. Because once we've got people on our email list, we can start building relationships with them, talking to them, having conversations, you know, making offers. But if you don't have an email list, you do not have a business. So that email list is like the oxygen. It's the blood that's pumping through your body. You have to have traffic. And it's not that every person that joins your email list is going to buy from you. Some won't. And frankly, some won't for years. Like, people might be on your list for a couple of years before they buy from you. And some will never buy from you. And that's fine. Hopefully they get great value anyway. But there are some that will buy from you. And if we think of that as a percentage, if you imagine that in the online space, a really like an industry conversion for the wellness space online is about between kind of 3-5%. And that's viewed as a really good conversion rate from a cold audience. And so if you imagine that for every 100 people you're bringing in, only 3 or 5 of them are going to buy from you, it starts to make you realize how many people you need to be bringing in. You need to be bringing in really consistent oxygen into your business, because only a small amount of it is actually going to be valuable to you. So we need to look at list growth, building that attention, and that can be done in a few ways. You can buy it, you can boost posts and run ads, you can build it, you can grow your social media following and entice people over onto your email list, or you can borrow it. You can look at collaborations, and you can look at partnerships, and you can look at reaching out to people that have the audience that you want. So we need to be really understanding who that audience is and attracting them into our world. Okay. Now, that does not mean relying on social media posting. As I said earlier, if you're posting every day, but you're not encouraging those people to either join your email list or buy from you, then you are missing a trick, because you're putting a huge amount of energy into something that is not going to make your business build. I don't know if anyone listened to or watched The Apprentice final recently. What I thought, there was two really important things that came up for me. The first thing, I loved it when Alan Sugar talked to the girls about social media, and he said, you know, numbers, numbers, stats, you know, following, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Show me the money. Because until you are making a living out of this following, out of these posts, they're irrelevant. You are actually wasting your time. So I really want you to think of those as vanity metrics. And yes, post, but have intention behind it. You know, use social media as a resource. Don't let it become something that controls you, something that's a time suck. So not random content. Always be leading people somewhere, or shifting a belief, or, you know, helping people to understand what you do, or the positioning you have. The other thing that I thought was really great on The Apprentice was the origin story. So the girl that won it with a product that was focusing on helping people with acne. And I said actually to my members in my accelerator group last week, before the final had been aired, we knew that she had this product, so we knew what her product was going to be, but what we didn't know was what her pitch was going to be. So she had to stand up on stage in the final episode, and before that episode aired, I said to my members, I guarantee you there will be an origin story. They will walk through her background, and they will talk about her head in hands moment, you know, her moment where it all hit rock bottom and what she did from there. And that's exactly what she stood up on stage and did. She knows her audience so well. She was talking about the fact that people saw her skin before they saw her. I mean, it gives me goosebumps. It was an incredible version of an origin story. She talks about how she now uses her skin as her armor. So the moment, there was this moment where it changed for her, where she moved from being controlled by her skin to taking control of it. And she's now produced a product as a result. It's an incredible version of a origin story, and how important that can be for identifying your audience. I digress slightly, but it comes down to knowing your people, really knowing the people. That story wouldn't be relevant for most people, but if someone's got acne out there and they're watching that, they're gonna listen. They're absolutely gonna hear exactly what she's saying. So we've talked about the first element, which is deeply understanding your audience and relating to them. The second element was list growth as a priority. Now, the third element is conversion events. And I did a big training on this in my group this week, because this is really the crux of what we do inside the Accelerator. So the Accelerator program helps people to develop their products. If they haven't got something built, then we build it. If they already have, then we refine it. And then we look at selling it. So sales becomes the kind of second big part of the program. And this looks like the way we do it in the Accelerator is by running conversion events. And these look like workshops, webinars, but or masterclasses, trainings, that kind of thing. But typically they're an hour and they walk people through an opportunity to get to know the business owner, see what mistakes they're making, see what is working now, talk them through some quick wins and offer the sale. So that's typically the way a conversion event works. Now, the reason why conversion events are so important is because they do a few things really well. They work as a lead magnet. So they encourage people to sign up. So you get those people into your email list. So we grow our audience, we build traffic, and we direct people to that event. And then it's a moment in time where we're able to show ourselves as the expert. So you are able to speak to your people, teach them, shift their beliefs, understand where they're at, show that you get it, give them some quick wins, and then invite them to make a sale. And it's an opportunity where selling feels very straightforward because it is the next obvious step. The way I run conversion events is I set them up for people so that by the time you get to the sale, it's an obvious outcome. Not only are you asking, but people are waiting to be invited. It's that moment where it's like, well, you can't leave me now. You've shown me like a taster. I'm invested. I love you. Now, how do I work with you? And so conversion events work brilliantly for that part of the sales process. Following on from that, they open up a really defined sales window. So it means that you can show up for the period of time that window is open. You can show up and sell, sell, sell. That means on socials, on your email list, everywhere. But once that window closes, it means that you can go back to just sharing value. So you don't feel like you're always being pushy, you're always selling. And so I hope that those three elements have really kind of helped you to see how sales can be really fun. Fun. You're all going, yeah, fun. Sounds really fun. But I say that in inverted commas. They can be really fun. You know, people need warming up. They need context. They need time before they buy from you. And so understanding who they are and how much time they need is part of the process. Creating content that speaks to them and giving them the information that they need to make a sale, to make a decision, is important. And then giving them an opportunity to join an event where they can make a decision and choose to take a next step, it's really valuable. It's a really valuable process. And the great thing about this process is that once you get going on it, it all becomes about the data. You know, I am not a maths person. In fact, I couldn't be further from a maths person. But when you know the levers that you have at your disposal, okay, so maybe I need more traffic, or maybe I need a better conversion, or was my nurture good enough? You know, where did I lose people along the process through the journey? Once you recognize the stages that your customers are going through before they work with you, you recognize the levers that you can pull on and the things that you can do to help increase your sales. And so it becomes a little bit of a game. And actually it's Alex Hormozi, isn't it, who speaks about the game. It's the game of business. And that is exactly what it is. So I would encourage you to go out there and run your own conversion event. Get to know your audience, run a masterclass for them, and invite them to take a next step and work with you. You just need the system in place. And once you've set up that system, your life is going to be so much easier. For me, when I look back at that first membership that I set up, that I closed it down, I think about a year after opening it, if only I'd known this then. If only I'd known it, I would have niched it, I would have got clear on my audience, and I would have got myself out there and start selling it, rather than just letting it sit on my website. That's what I was doing. It just sat there, and I was just waiting for people to come and buy it, for someone to see my social media posts and inspired to give me money. Whereas now I understand that actually it requires me to go out there and sell it's not going to sell itself. So you don't need more hustle, you just need a better system. And if you would like to know a little bit more about that, I have a free training for you, which is brand new. It was launched last week, but it's the first time I've spoken about it on the podcast. In this training, I am literally walking through this strategy. You can steal this entire strategy for adding freedom and income to your business with a clear online product. So if you are worried about not having an audience, you don't like having to post every day and you don't want to be salesy, or maybe you're even worried that the market is just full, it's saturated, then I would really encourage you to do this training, go through this training. It's like 50 minutes. It's going to walk you through the exact process of why your offer isn't selling. So why what you've already created isn't working, and why the problem isn't necessarily the product or your effort or how big your audience is. It will walk you through why you don't necessarily need more followers. So you can kind of take a breath around social media, because followers aren't going to fix your sales problem, and it will share with you what actually will. It's going to look at your offers so that you are not creating more work for yourself, but instead giving yourself an offer that can actually give you more freedom. And the final part is we're going to look at what actually will make your offer sell fast, and why most wellness offers don't sell, and why most do what mine did, which is just sitting on the website. And so if that sounds good to you, I'm going to put the link below. It's a 50-minute training. It's entirely free. And I would love to see you on there. So if you have any questions, as always, connect with me on Instagram at Caroline Kopp. But if you want to go and check out that training, and I talk more about conversion events in that training. So if you're keen to kind of get the nuts and bolts of how we do that, how you structure it, how you get people onto them, then go and do the training. I will put it in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you again next time. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show, and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists, so keep sharing your wellness message.